Exactly.
Yeah.
Did I get his job?
Yeah.
Get rid of the ego.
That's okay. No, that's his duty. He's just doing it objectively. He has no personal agenda to it. Shall we start?
सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. We'll chant verses 31 to 35, chapter 2.
Finish up
to 34,
sorry. Finish up to
34? 31. 31. So 31 to 35, we'll chant. Swadharmamapi chaveksha, swadharmamapi chaveksha, navikampitu marhasi. नविकम्पितुमर्हसि धर्म्यादियुद्धाश्रेयोन्यत् धर्म्यादियुद्धाश्रेयोन्यत् क्षत्रियस्य न विद्यते क्षत्रियस्य न विद्यते स्वधर्ममपि चावेक्ष्य नविकम्पितुमर्हसि धर्म्यादियुद्धाश्रेयोन्यत् क्षत्रियस्य न विद्यते यदृच्छया चोपपन्नम् यदृच्छया चोपपन्नम् स्वर्गद्वारमपावृतम् स्वर्गद्वारमपावृतम् सुखिन क्षत्रिया पार्थ सुखिन क्षत्रिया पार्थ लभन्ते युद्धमीदृशम् उद्धमीदृशम् यदृच्छया चोपपन्नम् स्वर्गद्वारमपावृतम् सुखिन क्षत्रिया पात लभन्ते युद्धमीदृशम् अत चेत्त्वमिमं धर्म्यम् अत चेत्त्वमिमं धर्म्यम् संग्रामं न करिष्यसि संग्रामं न करिष्यसि ततस्वधर्मं कीर्तिं च ततस्वधर्मं कीर्तिं च हित्वा पापमवाप्स्यसि हित्वा पापमवाप्स्यसि अत चेत्त्वमिमं धर्म्यं संग्रामं न करिष्यसि ततस्वधर्मं कीर्तिं च हित्वा पापमवाप्स्यसि अकीर्तिं चापि भूतानि अकीर्तिं चापि भूतानि कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम् कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम् संभावितस्य चाकीर्तिः संभावितस्य चाकीर्तिः मरणादतिरिच्यते मरणादतिरिच्यते अकीर्तिं चापि भूतानि कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम् संभावितस्य चाकीर्तिः मरणादतिरिच्यते भयाद्रनादुपरतम् भयाद्रनादुपरतम् मंस्यन्ते त्वां महारथाः मंस्यन्ते त्वां महारथाः येषां च त्वं बहुमतः येषां च त्वं बहुमतः भूत्वा यास्यसि लाघवम् भूत्वा यास्यसि लाघवम् भयाद्रनादुपरतम् मंस्यन्ते त्वां महारथाः येषां च त्वं बहुमतः भूत्वा यास्यसि लाघवम्
In the ancient times, the thinkers had divided the society into four categories based on the human temperament. They took cognizance of the human temperament, which is made of sattva, rajas and tamas. Based on these three temperaments, they divided human beings into four. It was not that they divided, they saw the existence of four prototypes amongst human beings. One set of people were more towards thinking, intelligence, etc. Other set of people were more inclined towards power, chivalry, etc. Another category of people were towards economics, money, wealth. The fourth category of people were more towards service, labor, execution. So based on this, they divided the society into four, which were called in Sanskrit as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras respectively. Amongst them, nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. But later on, due to the vested interests and selfishness of people, they were categorized so, like somebody is inferior, somebody is superior, etc. And when you buy the theory, then there will be chaos in the society. So when in the beginning, when they saw these four prototypes there amongst human beings, even today it is there. You go into any country and find out, there will be people who are more inclined towards knowledge, thinking, reflection, science, other set of people inclined towards money, some of them are inclined towards power, etc. So based on this, there are these four categories, and Arjuna fits into the category of Kshatriya. Now, this is definitely not by birth. It is based on the temperament, not by birth. Just because somebody is born to a Brahmana doesn't necessarily mean he will become automatically a Brahmana. But we also should understand, we had also discussed this before, that when the soul departs, it chooses the right womb for its manifestation. So the soul that had departed, if it was a Brahmanic soul or a Kshatriya soul, it needs a conducive womb for its manifestation. Right? So the system that they created in the ancient times, they created in such a way that whoever had the Brahmanical temperament were segregated, and they were given certain disciplines, and they were made to live together as a community. Similarly, they did that with Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, so that the departed soul, it becomes convenient for finding the Brahmanical womb, because they are constantly practicing the discipline and they are also made of the temperament, therefore they will be vibrating with that nature. Hence, it would be convenient, but not as compulsion. There may be exception to the rule. So therefore, it could be easier to find out who is a Brahmana, who is a Kshatriya, who is a Vaishya, who is a Shudra. But today if you see, it has become so chaotic. Now you do not know who is a Brahmana. In fact, you find so many people who are born in the so-called Brahmin family, but more inclined towards making money in economics. Right? So therefore, it doesn't hold good in today's context. But in the time when Krishna was talking about, it is very much applicable. So he said, Arjuna, looking at your nature, you are clearly a Kshatriya. In fact, they say, most of our inclinations and knowledge and intelligence and everything is formed while we are very, very small. While we are a small kid, up to the age of 3 or 5, most of our impressions are formed. So when it comes to Arjuna, his clear nature of Kshatriya was evident when you look at child Arjuna. So Krishna here also, as a close friend of Arjuna, knows very well what is the nature of Arjuna. So he says, further looking at your own duty, you should not waver. Looking at your nature, you should not waver. For there is nothing better for a Kshatriya than a righteous war. What does righteous war mean here? War was not their first choice.
Okay.
War was not their first choice. They are not choosing the option of war directly. They had opted for other methods of discussion and everything. They had practiced so much of restraint. It was thrust on them. They are not warmongers. Even though they are Kshatriyas, they did not jump into war. They had tried their best to avoid the war. So much of discussions and everything was happening, but nothing Duryodhana would listen to. Therefore, it was not their choice. They had no choice. It's a righteous war in that sense, that they did not want to thrust the war on somebody else. When it was thrust on them, to uphold dharma, they had to be in it. Hence it's called as righteous war. We'll chant verse 32. Yadrucchaya chopapannam, yadrucchaya chopapannam, swargadvarama pavritam, swargadvarama pavritam, sukhina kshatriya partha, sukhina kshatriya partha, labhante yuddhamidrisham, labhante yuddhamidrisham, yadrucchaya chopapannam, swargadvaramapavritam, sukhina kshatriya partha, labhante yuddhamidrisham. Happy are the kshatriyas, O Partha, who get such a battle that comes unsought as an open door to heaven. This is very important to note. Happy are the kshatriyas who get such a battle that comes unsought. If a person is craving for war, who is happy only if there is war, his nature may be of a kshatriya, but he will be happy only if there is war. Then he cannot be happy. Being a kshatriya, you should be balanced even when there is no war. Like you could hear from many people, if you leave me alone for 4 hours without any work, I'll go mad, they'll say. They need something to be there for them to be doing, otherwise they'll go mad. Similarly, in other words, what we need to understand is, a workaholic has no peace. He can be happy only if there is war. Here Krishna is not talking about such people. He is not saying you are a kshatriya who will be happy only if there is war. You are belonging to a category of a kshatriya who will be happy even if there is no war. That is what we need to deduce here. Happy are the kshatriyas who get such a battle that comes unsought. We are not craving. What do I do if there is no work? So I must somehow create work. Somehow make sure that there is war everywhere so that I can be constantly happy. No, you don't belong to that category. You in fact want peace. But if the war is thrust on you, you have now got an opportunity
to showcase your talent. And that sort of happiness, that sort of a mental peace that Krishna portrays here as happiness of a Kshatriya. So he says, happy are the Kshatriyas who get such a battle that comes unsought. So in other words, his message here is always this. Throughout the Gita, his message is this. That is, don't crave for work. Be happy in work or without work. Be happy in war or without war. So don't go after war, but accept if it is thrust on you. Whatever is thrust on you, accept it, don't resist it. And a person who accepts and not resists is happy. Here the heaven that Krishna talks about is not the heaven of which could be taken as a geographical place. This is a mental state. Heaven or hell is nothing but a mental state. Like John Milton says, mind in its own place can make a hell out of a heaven or a heaven out of a hell. Your own home could become heaven if you had positive attitude. Your own home could turn into hell if you had negative attitude. People had to leave their homes to find heaven. Right? What Vedanta says is, you don't have to leave your home to find heaven. You can convert your homes into heaven. But having converted your homes into heaven, don't lose your freedom to leave your home. But don't crave to leave either. This is Vedanta philosophy. You need to understand it correctly. If you misunderstand it, you have it. There are people who want to leave their homes to find heaven. There are people who cannot leave their homes. Both are bound. One, he has a condition that he has to leave. The other's condition is he should not leave. Krishna wants us to live unconditionally. Any conditioning is a restriction, is a curse upon freedom. And Krishna gives extreme importance to freedom. Krishna proved through his life, through his lectures as well. He only spoke what he lived. So he says, happy are the Kshatriyas, O Partha, who get such a battle that comes unsought. Don't ask, but without asking, whatever comes, accept it. And a person who lives like this will be in heaven. A lot of people ask, how to find heaven? Where I am. You can find heaven where you are if you can bring this attitude in your life. Learn to stop asking and learn to accept that comes to you. The moment you learn this, wherever you are happy. Kshatriya's happiness is in showcasing his talent. Brahmana's happiness is in showcasing his talent, which is in the field of knowledge. Similarly, the Vaishya and Shudra. But if he had some personal axe to grind, to that extent, that happiness will be marred. When you showcase your talent without any personal axe to grind, then that instance you are in heaven. But if there is an element of selfishness, to that extent it gets poisoned. To that extent your heaven gets poisoned. That's why the difference between a workaholic and a Vedantin needs to be understood. Vedanta is certainly asking us to be dynamic. A Vedantin has to be dynamic. Like when he talks about later on, when Arjuna asks Krishna to explained to him about Astita Prajna, Stira Prajna, man of perfection. Krishna says, yes, Sarvatra Anabhisneha. It's coming in the later part of this chapter. It's a beautiful portion called Stita Prajna portion. He paints the picture of a perfect human being. So he says, yes, Sarvatra. Whoever is everywhere. Means dynamic, but Anabhisneha. Without attachment. The difference between a workaholic and Vedantin is that Anabhisneha. A workaholic, he needs work. Without work, he'll go mad. He's dynamic, but he's bound by his dynamism. A Vedantin is dynamic, but he is free from his dynamism. That's the difference. And since he is bound by his dynamism, a workaholic to that extent loses his happiness. He is constantly worried, what next? After finishing this target, what next? He cannot be happy. He is not there enjoying his work. Whereas a Vedantin is not asking what next. Whatever it is, he is accepting it. Therefore he remains in the present, and that is heaven. One who learns to be in the present will be in heaven. A workaholic remains in future. And future and past will always be connected together. The disconnection from these two will have to be through being in the present. So this is what Krishna says. So the words of this verse has to be taken in total. He's not saying happy are the Kshatriyas who get an opportunity to fight. It looks as if he's waiting for fighting. Then he becomes a warmonger. He's saying happy are the Kshatriyas who get such a battle that comes unsought. So the most important word here is unsought. That's very important. Yadrichaya, by itself, you had not planned and programmed for a war, Arjuna. You were thrusted into war, and you have no personal agenda here. If you have a personal agenda, then it becomes stressful. I explained to you even before, I think, once. When you had to carry 10 kilograms of weight uphill, it's burdensome, stressful. But when you carry your child who is 10 kilogram weight uphill, it's not burdensome. Are you with me? Why? Here there is love, there is lack of love. Love is beyond ego. When there is selfishness, what I will get from this, then the work tires you, gives you stress. So a workaholic enters into his work with an attitude of what I will get from it. So a work should be converted into an art. A lot of us are converting art into work today. You understand? If you really want to remove stress from work, change the word work into art. But a lot of us are, like I said, changing art into work nowadays. That is why even artists are getting stressed. You know, musicians getting stressed. Should not be the case. If you have an axe to grind, then to that extent, heaven slips away from you. So when John Milton says you can create hell or heaven, what he means is just a little bit of adjustment mentally. If you change your attitude, positive becomes heaven, negative becomes hell. So same husband, same wife, your relationship can be heaven or hell.
same city, you may be in heaven or hell. Same car, you don't have to go on changing car. Mobile phone, in fact, that is another thing. Every new model that comes, people want to change. You don't have to. Neither should you get stuck by the principle that I will not change. See, this is these two extremes. One set of people are stuck by the principle that I will never ever change. The other one is constantly has to change. Both are bound. And both these people cannot understand this middle path. And what Krishna is talking about here is middle path. And Arjuna, since you had not sought this war, you did not jump into this war, you are not craving for it, being in it will be a totally blissful experience to you. In fact, I think when we did the introduction, I had mentioned before, the Gita, Bhagavad Gita begins with the word dharma and ends with the word mama. You remember, mama, dharma are the two words between which the entire Gita is sandwiched. That's how we started the introduction. Mama dharma, my nature, my supreme nature, my essential nature is divinity. Attaining that divinity is the only goal of every being. How do you attain that goal? That is also given in the two words, combination of these two words called mama dharma, my nature. What is my swadharma? By doing your swadharma, if it happens to be brahmana, keep on doing the duty of a brahmana without expectations. You will rise above it. By running away from it, your nature will catch up with you. Please understand.
You have
to be totally
selfless.
Yes. It is being in it, yet out of it, that takes you there. Not running away from it. This is what we need to understand. Are you with me? Anything. Similarly, if you are a Kshatriya, you be a Kshatriya without expectations.
I'm trying to relate this to daily living, Swami, what you're telling us. Total selflessness, I mean, I don't know, I cannot say that I have. Total selflessness, I do not have. And this concept also of freedom, I'm sure bindings hai. I'm sure mere man mein kabhi na kabhi phal hai ki ye karenge, whether it is to a relationship or whether it is to work. वो फल का कॉन्सेप्ट है. सो आई एम ट्राइंग टू रिलेट दिस टू डेली लिविंग एंड आई डोंट नो एट व्हिच स्टेज फ्रीडम बिकम्स लाइसेंस और देयर आर कोड्स ऑफ कंडक्ट. इफ यू आर अ संसार देयर हैव टू बी सांसारिक कोड्स ऑफ कंडक्ट.
एब्सोल्युटली
टोटल सेल्फलेसनेस इज रियली डिफिकल्ट फॉर मी टू आई एम नॉट एबल टू प्रैक्टिस.
नो, व्हाई आर यू कंफ्यूजिंग सेल्फलेसनेस विद लाइसेंशियसनेस ऑफ फ्रीडम? I am not able to understand your question.
This is a very ideal state of living, Swami.
Yeah, one has to evolve to that state. One is not in that state now. One is suddenly... Nobody. Krishna is not saying, you are already there. By gaining this knowledge, by reflecting on this knowledge, by slowly, you know, developing this attitude, you get there. Only when the knowledge goes in through reflection, your attitude changes. How does it change? We are in the process of changing the attitude. Right? So today, to whatever extent you have selfish attitude, needs to be converted into selfless. And that is possible through the digestion of knowledge.
If I try to evaluate myself, I would say I am basically a calm person. But it's not that I never get ruffled. I do get irritated. There are those traits.
Absolutely. See, the awareness has to increase. The more the awareness, the greater the selflessness. Are you with me?
Yes.
And once there is awareness, you will clearly understand the difference between freedom and licentiousness as well. Today, without awareness, you tend to justify licentiousness as freedom.
Yes.
So therefore, when it comes to people who lack awareness, it is better to be disciplined.
Yes.
Rather than telling them to be free. Because there are more possibilities, more to be licentious in their case. That is why, you know, you need to go through a certain system, and when you have lived through the system and you come out of it, then there is less possibilities of you abusing it. Otherwise, you know, you'll just abuse it. Now, this needs to be understood, what he is saying, because this is a very interesting verse and very important verse. You need to read it carefully. Like I said, happy are the Kshatriyas who get such a battle that comes unsought. So those three words, that comes unsought. Coming means what? I am not manipulated for it. It has come on its own. This is the difference. The other person who is desire-ridden, he'll be manipulating for it to happen. I can manipulate it in such a way, it will look as if it has come on its own. Then, you know, world will say, oh, he's not interested, it has just come, he's taking it. No. He's not having any personal manipulation. It has come, he's accepted. Fine. And such a person will be in heaven. So it's this changing of this attitude through the increase in awareness, which is possible through sadhana. Remember this. Through study, reflection, yoga, pranayama, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, all this put together, you will increase your awareness by changing the lifestyle. You must convert this theory into practice. And to the extent you live this knowledge, to that extent your awareness will increase and automatically your attitude will change. Then you will not be expecting, you will not be seeking, courting, this or that. And you will be going about executing your nature. So as a Brahmana, you must be a Brahmana without expectation. Thus you will rise beyond the nature of Brahmana and become Brahman. Similarly, as Kshatriya, you must be in the field of Kshatriya without any expectations. Thus you will rise and then reach the state of Brahman. Similarly, Vaishya and Shudra. There is nothing wrong to enter into the field of Vaishya. In other words, what he is trying to say is, you be what you are. Today, we focus our children to go into something else. We don't really focus our attention towards our children to find out what is their nature. You know, you go on manipulating the child's mind for the child to say what you want to say. And then the child will say this, and then you push the child. And the child is absolutely unhappy because it's totally in alien field. In third chapter, he's going to talk about it in detail. So, dharma, paradharma, etc. So, the salvation is through your nature. Is not running away from your nature. This is what Krishna is trying to explain to us. You cannot attain the total freedom by moving away from it, Arjuna. Buddha was not running away from his nature. Buddha was not a Kshatriya. He happened to be born in a Kshatriya family, but he was not a Kshatriya. Mahavira could have been born in a Kshatriya family, but he was not a Kshatriya. Arjuna, you are born in a Kshatriya family and you are a Kshatriya. That is an interesting combination of yours. And therefore, when Buddha walked out, he was not running away. He was moving into being a Brahmana without expectation. When Arjuna, you are running away, you are trying to be what you are not. And this way you will never find salvation. So therefore, don't make everybody into a Brahmana. Everybody must go to ashram. Everybody must, be in the process of making wealth. Because wealth in the hands of Kshatriya only can bring happiness to him when he is able to buy a sword. He will think, okay, this much wealth, that much sword I can buy. See, for example, a cricketer, like we had discussed this I think last week when we met, you select him to the team and you keep him as a reserve. As a reserve also he gets his salary. But he'll be extremely unhappy. He'll say, what the hell, I need the opportunity to play. You rather take away my salary, reduce it to 50%. I don't mind. And the 50% he requires because to buy the shoes and racket and make a, you know, decent living, that's all. But all that he is, his happiness really comes from being what he is. And his happiness will reach the crescendo, will become heaven when he does it without any expectation. Without looking at the scoreboard, he starts playing. Without expecting the result. You understand? This is the point. Anything, any, whatever be your nature, just being in the struggle. That's what Krishna is trying to say. So Arjuna, you are going to lose the opportunity of being in heaven if you say no to this world. This is an open door, open invitation to heaven. Why would you want to say no when Lakshmi comes and knocks at your door? You must open the door and welcome her totally. So Krishna says, accept it. Verse 33. Ata chetva mimam dharmyam, ata chetva mimam dharmyam, sangramam na karishyasi, sangramam na karishyasi, tata swadharmam ketimcha, tata swadharmam ketimcha, hitva papam avapsyasi, hitva papam avapsyasi, ata chetva mimam dharmyam, sangramam na karishyasi, tata swadharmam kirtimcha, hitva papam avapsyasi. Now, if you will not wage this righteous war, then having abandoned your duty, dharma, and fail, you will incur sin. Sin in the context here means mental agitations. It's not what you do that should be termed as sin or virtue. Whether what you do brings about mental agitations needs to be taken into account. Based on that, you call it a sin or not. Sin is in the reaction, not in the action. Now, he says, if you will not wage this righteous war, you run away from the war. So, he is talking about the consequence of going into the war and running away from the war. In verse 32, he spoke about going into it. Now, he is talking about running away from it. I told you, don't run after. There are people who run after war, run after wealth, run after work. They are running after, but unconsciously. So there are one set of people who are running after war. They are running after unconsciously, like Kauravas. Arjuna is being asked by Lord Krishna to get into war consciously. When the mind is exposed to consciousness, it comes to present. When the mind loses its touch, its connection to consciousness, then it goes into future. Kauravas are in the war, tied to the future. Krishna is asking Arjuna to be in the war, connected to the present. Yoga means being in the present. Bhog means being in future.
Bhog.
Bhog. B-H-O-G. Bhog means being in future. Yog means being in present. So what you do doesn't make it yoga or bhog. How you do it makes it yoga or bhog. The so-called actions which are considered as yoga, a person could be in it as a bhog. The so-called bhog, a person may be in it as a yoga. So, grihastha ashrama, you could go through the grihastha ashrama as yoga. You could go through Bhagavad Gita class as a bhog. You understand? You're thinking about the fruit. The fruit, you are getting involved in Bhagavad Gita's grammar, the message, oh fantastic, and this and that. That's bhog. Understand? So this, see, bhog also could be enjoyment. When you are actually in yoga, you are in bhog. From a different angle when you look at it. Bhog, if you take it as enjoyment. When are you enjoying Gita? When you are looking at it as Gita, as yoga. A person who is in grihastha ashrama as yoga is actually in bhog. But a person who is in grihastha ashrama as a bhog loses its bhog. That's what Isavasya Upanishad says. Renounce and enjoy. Renounce the future. Be in the present and enjoy.
We only say
I don't know what.
That's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
That is
just.
I don't know what that
means. That's why prashad. See, the beauty of Sanskrit language is that each word has so many meanings. It depends on which context you use. So an act doesn't become yoga or bhog in itself. It is the person who doing the action makes it a yoga or bhog. This needs to be understood correctly. The problem is this understanding is not there in many of us. And I'm giving a clue to that question as well. Really, it is a fact. You understand? This is what is creating a lot of confusion in a lot of people, because we categorize certain actions as yoga, certain actions as bhog. Then comes the problem. We are not accepting action as just action. You could be in the battlefield and be in yoga. You could be in Bhagavad Gita class and be in bhog, indulging in it. You understand? So, it's not what you do, it's how you do. Swamiji keeps on repeating this. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. So, one set of people are running after work, wealth, everything, unconsciously. Krishna is for conscious living. Cultural living is Krishna's living. Living should be helping you to grow to the highest perfection that a human being can go to. So, you have to go into the pleasures to grow out of it. You have to go into the pleasures to grow out of it. And while you go into the pleasures, if you have the motive of growing out of it, then it spoils the whole thing. You just be in it as a yoga in the present, you will automatically grow out of it. To grow out of it should not be your motive also. Okay. So now if you will not wage this righteous war, then having abandoned your duty, having abandoned your nature, having moved away from your nature, having not living your life as per your nature, you will lose fame. When will you get fame? Fame is a byproduct. Fame comes as a result of your action. When you run away from what you ought to do, you will not get fame. People will talk ill about you. You will incur sin and you will be mentally agitated when you are not in your field. And that is not an acceptable state to be in. When a person has no expectations and he is in his field, he is calm. See, what happens is, one set of people, they are in their swadharmic field, but they are there with expectations. To that extent, they are agitated. Another set of people, they are not in their field only. That is another reason for their agitation. So what do you have to do? You have to be in your field as per your nature and be in it without any craving. And that is heaven. So Krishna is saying, if you don't follow 32, in 33 what will happen is, as an external outcome, you will lose your fame first of all. Whatever status you've got, people will think, acha, by fluke he's got it. Because see, when he's got an opportunity to showcase his talent, he's running away from it. So that means he's scared. And for a Kshatriya mind, fame matters. If it was a Buddha mind, Buddha would have said, okay, chalo, TK, no fame, no problem. In fact, no fame, less problem. Fame, more problem. Ask Tendulkar, he'll tell you. Even to drive his car, he has to go at 2 o'clock in the night. Tendulkar. Any of these, you know, famous people, they cannot go out and drive and be like us. They have to, you know, go in the middle of the night and drive. I mean, fame is a problem. For a Kshatriya, he, fame, you know, matters a lot. So Krishna pokes where it pains to Arjuna. Because, you know, to make him wake up. So he says, you lose your fame and you will incur sin. You have been arguing that by fighting you will incur sin. Now I am telling you, by running away you will incur sin. This is another important point to be understood. Because why did Arjuna come to that conclusion? Arjuna came to that conclusion earlier in chapter 1 because he is a person like any one of us who has categorized certain action as right and wrong. Krishna is first telling you, don't categorize any action as right or wrong. This is not so easy because you are so much conditioned that you will categorize, you have already categorized in fact, so deeply certain actions as right and certain actions as wrong. That's it. And therefore, you will live by it. So Krishna is somebody who is not categorized any action, who goes by inner attitude. Like Shakespeare says, one may smile and smile and yet be a villain. It is not the expressions, it is the attitude. Lot of us go by expressions. We think if somebody is leading a very simple life externally, he must necessarily be a sannyasi within. Not necessary. Just because somebody is showcasing his expensive stuff doesn't mean inside he is attached to it. It may be more likely so in many people, but not necessary. But how would the world go by? They go by external actions. If you find somebody drinking milk under a palm tree, you know, in Tamil we say that, don't drink milk under a palm tree, because people will take it as if he's drinking toddy. Even if you drink toddy in a temple, they'll think he's drinking milk. This is the problem. This is why all the confusions, you are going by expressions. Like later on in the 18th chapter, he talks about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic intellect. There he says, tamasic intellect understands everything ulta. Rajasic intellect understands things wrongly. Sattvic intellect understands things correctly. So here Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, it is not the action, it's the attitude. Do you have the craving? Ask yourself.
Isn't that the answer to your question?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not, that's why I told you, almost 99% we have, only thing we need to put it in proper order, that's all. This is the point. Pehla craving ko nikal do. Fir, there is nothing right wrong.
तो मन की शक्ति देना मन विजय करे दूसरों को जैसे पहले खुद को जय करे.
So first you must conquer the cravings. If you conquer the cravings, it is the cravings that are blanketing the awareness. Once the cravings are removed, awareness shines forth, then your actions become righteous. That is the philosophy of Vedanta. Cravings ko hata do. When you remove the cravings, awareness shines forth. So the whole thing is in self-purification. The whole thing is not in correcting anybody. Like Swami Ramtita says, wanted reformers, not of others but of themselves. Lecture to yourself, not to others. In fact, I have thought about it in detail. Why am I into this field? Why should I be in this field? The only reason is self-purification. Not because I have got something to give or anything of that sort. Even if sometimes such ego comes, you know, need to tackle it. That's the sadhana. But the really speaking, the best way, like, is like when you talk, at least after 20th time you say, hey, what am I talking? Let me try to live what I'm talking. You know, there was a person who used to come in the radio in Tamil Nadu, in Tamil channels, and especially in the, you know, that those days only government radio was there. There was no private channels. So he used to come in that and just give a message every day. Like he's giving one information every day, and we'll talk about it a little bit. He was as an employer, employee of Radio All India Radio in Chennai, and he was doing something else. So when they were coming out with this program called a daily message or something, he was asked to do it. He said, "I've never done it. I'm not a voracious reader or something. How am I going to do it?" But he took it as a challenge. He said, okay, let me do it. So he went to library, started reading books, and every day he used to come up with very interesting messages. He became very famous. In fact, the way he used to present it, I used to love him. Before I go to school, I used to listen to that and go, you know. Small message, but very interesting message. So when he was interviewed once in the television channels recently, he said, somebody asked him, did you ever get any letter from anybody saying that your program is wonderful and they would have congratulated you, saying thanks to you, saying that your messages changed their life and all that? He said, I don't know if it changed anybody, but I know one person it has changed, that's me. You know, the thing is, lecture to yourself, not to others. Wanted reformers. It is self-purification. Once you remove the cravings, then you get the clarity with which you cannot be but on the right side. You cannot be but on the righteous side. So this is what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying here, now if you will not wage this righteous war, If you will say, I will not fight, what will happen to you is, you will be mentally disturbed and you will also lose the external fame. Don't judge anything by mere action. Verse 34.
Akirtim chapi bhutani, akirtim chapi bhutani, katayishyanti devyayam, katayishyanti devyayam, sambhavitasya chakirtihi, sambhavitasya chakirtihi, maranadati richyate, maranadati richyate, akirtim chapi bhutani, katayishyanti devyayam, sambhavitasya chakirtihi, maranadati richyate.
People also will recount your perpetual dishonor. And to the honored, dishonor is worse than death. See, Arjuna's nature is Kshatriya, therefore this logic will have some effect on him. Because Krishna himself is saying, don't worry about honor and dishonor. And if one should not worry about honor and dishonor, and Arjuna is in that state, would this make any difference to him? Okay, let them talk ill about me, what difference does it make? Krishna is saying this knowingly because Arjuna is in that level now. People's honor matters to him. So he says, people also will recount your perpetual dishonor. Not only now they will dishonor you, but people to come later on, history will talk ill about you. See, in future, whoever will come, they will also take Arjuna as a what? Joke. Arjuna, you will become a joke. That's what he is saying. Krishna is telling Arjuna, you will become a joke. Not only he is worried about his people, perpetual means what? For the days to come. In history, you will be known as somebody who ran away from the battlefield. When the time of test came, when the D-Day came, Arjuna ran away. This is how the history will speak. Arjuna was reacting probably. Because it matters to him what history talks about him. It did not matter to Krishna what history talks about him. Right? Oh, he was such a manipulative character. Lot of people talk about him. He couldn't care less. You understand? But here he is talking all this to Arjuna. Clearly a psychological attempt. So he says, people will also recount your perpetual dishonor unto the honored. This is the, you know, this is like, flattery. Arjuna, you are already an honored. It's also a fact. Arjuna had some fame, right? People looked up to him. You know, you had put in so much effort to come to that level. You don't want to lose it. A lot of us, let me tell you, die because of this nonsense. Whole life is somehow, you know, like I said before, to come to a status itself is such a struggle. How much struggle you had to do to come to a certain level of status, even at the level of wealth. That is not a problem. Let me tell you, that is not a big problem. The real problem starts now. That is to maintain the status quo. To maintain the status quo is a very big problem. That is why people who have fallen for this, you know, after, see, for every rise there has to be a fall. They struggle in maintaining that. So what do? They give special appearances and charge for that. They have to maintain that status quo. Please understand, it's a big struggle. Firstly, because of our madness, we think there is something in that status and we put our heart and soul and come rise to that status.
And then madness starts now. That is to maintain that status quo. Right? It's a big problem. Such a big problem. And therefore what you do all sorts of nonsense to maintain that status quo. So Krishna is telling here, don't lose your status. But only thing is, you need not do any madness to maintain your status. Like Shakespeare says, reputation is an idol. Most false imposition. Of God without merit. Lost without deserving it. One of the most fascinating quotations. He says, reputation is an idol. Most false imposition. Everybody says, oh, he's a very good speaker. That's where, you know, suddenly he also starts believing that he's a good speaker. You understand? Now, most false imposition. Lost without, oft got without merit. Lost without deserving it. For no fault of yours, one day they'll throw you down. No, when you go to this theme parks, they have this game called Free Fall.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to experience it, so I experienced it this time. Amazing. I mean, they take you to that height. But you know, the interesting thing was people, they just, it's a hydraulically controlled, you know. They just release the thing, just come down straight. So you're going to get butterflies in your stomach. You know, that it's like that. They take you and keep you there, and no fault of yours, it's gone. You finish one day. And when you are there, suddenly you release it. They really want to test it whether we are following Gita. Gita or Kohl should not disturb. So you know, so the thing is, like that, for every rise there will be a fall. For every fall there will be a rise. That's how life is. You cannot remain at the peak for long. You cannot remain at the ground level for long. It will go on. You should be at the center. Even when you are at the peak, inside you should be at the center. Even when things are going down, you should be at the center. Let the world fix its center, but you fix your center. So that here Arjuna is being told by Krishna that you are already honored. And I am not saying do somersault somehow to maintain it, but now you got a good opportunity to maintain it. Not that you run after in maintaining it. That's not Krishna's advice. Please understand. If that was the case, then it's a wrong advice. He's not saying somehow you stand on your head or do whatever, somehow you maintain the status quo. No. But when you've got a good opportunity to maintain it, what is wrong here? See, don't think that you are spiritual only if you go in a motorcycle or a bicycle. You can be spiritual even if you go in a Mercedes Benz. You understand? The latest one. Or a 7 series BMW, you could still be a spiritual person. But it should not have a value for you. It has a value at the useful sense. That's all. For everything, there is a usefulness. You should understand it. Beyond that, if you create a value, then get into trouble. And that is the projected value. Are you with me? The actual usefulness is there for everything. Understand that. If you understand that, you neither fall for it, nor run away from it. So, you are already a person whom everybody looks after. You understand? Since you are there, you must make sure that you continue to set an example. The fame that you have got is what? That somebody who would do anything to establish righteousness. Somebody who is a righteous warrior. A warrior who only supports righteousness.
You've got that honor, Arjuna. Now when this righteous war has come, you want to run away? You want to prove everybody wrong? You want everybody to think that this is just an their imagination, not true? Don't give up, he says. So he says, to the honored, dishonor is worse than death. They rather die than be dishonored. For them, death doesn't really matter. But if people think ill about them, they rather give up their life. To prove that he is a Kshatriya will go to any extent. Because that is important for him. So, in short, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you'll be called as a coward. Not only now, for the days to come. And he gives little more inputs.
Bayadranadu paratam, mamsyante twamaharataha, te twamaharataha, esham chatvam bahumataha, esham chatvam bahumataha, bhutvayasyasilaghavam, bayadranadu paratam, mamsyante twamaharataha, Yesham chatvam bahumataha bhutvayasyasi laghavam.
Now, he says, who are the people who will dishonor you? The great chariot warriors. See, it depends who talks ill about you. Somebody on the streets talk ill about you, doesn't matter to you. But if your colleagues start talking ill about you, it matters to you. When Tendulkar hits a shot, especially nowadays with this T20 and all that, 2020, nobody knows what is a good shot. A fellow hits and it takes the hedge and goes for a six, everybody is clapping, and that's a very, very poor shot. So when everybody is clapping, a person who knows cricket may not clap for it. Right? So when there is an excellent shot played, even if it was fielded and did not fetch any run, a person who really knows cricket, he will be clapping. And that's what matters to Tendulkar, the cricketer. So he says, the great chariot warriors will think that you have withdrawn from the battle out of fear, not out of compassion. You may say it was out of compassion, but they will understand it that it is out of fear. He talked so much, but when it came to delivery, zero. So he says, and you that were highly esteemed by them will be lightly held. You should read it like that. You can't read it like, you that were highly esteemed by them will be lightly held. If you read like that, you will not understand what he is trying to say. He is trying to say that you that were highly esteemed by them will be lightly held. Means free fall. I can't think of a better example. Understand? Slowly they will take you there, and then suddenly they will release you from there. So this honor and dishonor and all these things will come and go. And even these people who are at your level, see, this matters, because many of us have value for what others think of us, especially the others who belong to our, who are our equals kind of, or whom we believe our equals. See, you are not bothered about how you are dressed up when you go to a shopping mall in America. But in Delhi, my God, 1 hour it takes for you to dress up and just to go to a shopping mall. You understand? But when you are in some other country, because you really couldn't care less, because you don't know them. This is very interesting psychology. These people I value, I do not want them to think anything wrong about me. This is very interesting. Always, even many of our movie heroes and heroines and all these people, they cannot just come out without makeups and all that here in India. When they go abroad, they love that. Actually, what is happening, it is their fault, I would say. You need to create, you are falling for that nonsense. And when you go abroad, you just be normal, nobody recognizes you, and they come back. But the problem is, they cannot, initially they enjoy it, but they cannot enjoy it for long because they are losing their recognition. They have to come back here to get that. It's your weakness. And Arjuna has that weakness. And Krishna knows it. And he doesn't leave any stone unturned, you know. To make Arjuna understand, he combines both philosophy and psychology. In fact, any communication needs to be a combination of both message and psychology. In fact, Swamiji says, communication is 95 to 99% psychology, 1% message. Today, with the packaging industry, in its peak, you buy a product, how beautifully they package it. A perfume bottle. Perfume bottle, you don't want to throw that bottle, you know. The bottle is packaged so nicely. Anything for the matter. When you buy a television with all its speakers and everything, comes in a small box. Beautifully. You know, the packaging matters. It's the delivery. Like Mark Antony, when he speaks, he says, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me thy ears. I've come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. It's absolutely the other way around. Packaging. How do you package? The whole thing is packaging. So Krishna, here we need to understand, it is not just philosophy going on giving a message. You need to talk to the person as well. Present the material according to the person. That's what it is. So Krishna is saying here, Arjuna, understanding Arjuna's psychology very well, he says the great chariot warriors will think that you have withdrawn from the battle. And this is too much for Arjuna. If my equals, if people whom I consider as superior, in their level, this is peer pressure. What is peer pressure? This is peer pressure. If you are a thinker, you can have no peer pressure. You understand? This peer pressure is there in Arjuna also, like any one of us. And this peer pressure is being used intelligently by Krishna for turning him towards the right thing. Peer pressure should not be used for turning you into the wrong side. This is what an aggressively bad fellow will do. Like they say, the terrorists catch hold of the youngsters, the adolescents. You understand? They catch hold of them and then they give them a wrong direction. Krishna is not giving wrong direction to Arjuna. Krishna is making Arjuna to move towards the right direction. Using his weakness very well, very clearly, and there is nothing wrong in it. Because you must understand whom you are talking to. If you are talking Bhagavad Gita to a 10-year-old, it has to be packaged accordingly. To a 20-year-old, it has to be packaged accordingly. To a 50-year-old, it has to be packaged accordingly. You need to understand that. Only then it will have an effect. Are you with me? If probably Krishna was in a sannyasi robe, I don't know if Arjuna would have asked him anything only. We have no idea. So, you had run away from the battle out of fear, they'll think. Not out of sacrifice, not out of great thinking, not out of great compassion. And you that were highly esteemed by them will be lightly held. All your efforts of coming to this level of fame would be gone, Arjuna, by this action. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.